Blog Talk Radio.
How many times that song was played today on the LA Express, LA Expressway? I'm curious. As the Los Angeles Lakers were promptly dismissed out of the 2011 playoffs by the Dallas Mavericks in a four-game sweep. And, I mean, you talk about laying the egg. You talk about, you know, I can't even say spitting a bit because that would be considered to be choked. That wasn't, you know, that game wasn't even close enough to be considered a choke job. But you're just talking about just checking out. Or as my cousin texted me, you know, yesterday, they didn't even check in, which is a good point. You know, Lakers, this is how, I mean, the championship teams, we talked about this on Saturday, they don't go, they don't go loudly. They go quietly. They go quietly when you've seen a team going for a three-peat that has won back-to-back championships, played 77 games throughout the course of the last three postseasons. You know, they don't go with a fight. They don't bring a fight. They normally go meekly and gently into that good night. But despite what I said on Saturday, despite the fact that you look at the last four teams attempting a three-peat that have failed, whether it be the Houston Rockets 1996 who were swept, whether it be the Detroit Pistons of 1991 who were swept, whether it be the Los Angeles Lakers of 1989 who were swept. Despite that, there was something a little different about this Los Angeles Lakers team as it compares to those teams. First of all, those teams were absolutely done. You know, by the time they reached year three of going, the year where they were going for a three-peat, they were finished. They were physically shot. They were old. They were on their way out. This Lakers team, they were not favored to win a championship. This Lakers team was favored to win a championship by everybody, not only before the season, but before the playoffs. This is despite the fact that everything they went through, once they went on the 17-1 run, people kind of dismissed the five-game losing streak. They'll be able to turn it on in the playoffs. They had the experience. They got the size. They had Kobe. Got Phil. So what happened? Was Dallas that good? No, really, was Dallas just that good? I will tell you later on in the program what I think happened to the Los Angeles Lakers. Besides the conventional wisdom stuff of foot speed, lack of athleticism, you know, not on the same page, not being able to turn on the switch. That's easy. I mean, that stuff is easy to say. too many games and too many playoff games over the course of the last four seasons. I will tell you exactly what I think happened to Los Angeles Lakers and tell you, and once I and when I do tell you, you will be able to then connect all the dots and everything will make perfect sense once I tell you what happened to the Los Angeles Lakers and why they are sitting at home right now watching the playoffs. So where does that leave the rest of the NBA with the two-time defending world champions out of the mix? Well, these are wide open, number one. I mean, listen, Dallas is very good. They have a legitimate chance. Miami, Chicago, all have legitimate chances. Even to a lesser extent, Boston. Can never count the Celtics out, though I still will favor Miami in this series. They have a chance, especially if they were somehow to get past this series. So it's wide open at this point. I mean, that's what happens when you take out the favorites, you know, coming into the playoffs. So it's wide open. As far as the other games go, as of right now, as I'm speaking, the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat, of course, are playing. Boston's up by one. It's been a very entertaining game so far. Celtics up by three now as they head towards halftime. Paul Pierce is playing very well. LeBron James having a big half. Boy, if the Celtics ever got this game, and I'm rooting for the Celtics hard. No more, I hate the Heat. Even as a Laker fan, I'm rooting for the Celtics. That just shows you how much I hate the Heat. Celtics ever got this game, boy, it would put, you talk about pressure on Miami. I just want to see the Celtics get this game, not only from a competitive standpoint, just to see how Miami deals with their first adverse situation in these 2011 playoffs. Later on tonight, you're going to have Memphis and Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City just is, you know, and I've said this before in earlier in the postseason, and I'll say it again. They are an immature team that is not ready to compete or win a championship. I think Memphis is going to win that game, win that series. I think Memphis will win tonight, and I think Oklahoma City will win Game 5, and Memphis will wrap it up in Game 6. They're just not ready. They have all the talent in the world. You know, Ibaka's playing well. You know, you have Westbrook and Durant and Harden. But the problem is you have this dynamic between Westbrook and Durant that is, you know, is dragging down the team. It's mostly focused on Westbrook, who, you know, thinks he's Derrick Rose. So that's going to be a major problem that they need to iron out before the start of next season. But they're just so immature. There's no way they should have lost that game on Saturday. You talk about a 15-16-point lead. They were in full control of that game, and, you know, they just got destroyed in the fourth quarter. There's no way they should have lost that game. I give Memphis all the credit in the world for hanging in there, but Oklahoma City, I think Memphis is going to win that series. Atlanta, Chicago, give Atlanta credit. Josh Smith, big game last night. Chicago just doesn't have enough scoring. You know, outside of Derrick Rose, you know, Derrick Rose has to take about 25 to 30 shots because nobody else can score on that team. I mean, if they don't get anything out of Luol Deng, or if he has an off game, they have some issues as far as getting, knowing where they're going to get points from. I mean, Bruce has been awful. I mean, I understand that they say he has some ligament damage with his toe, whatever that may be, but they are really struggling to score right now. And give Atlanta credit. Atlanta's, you know, after two embarrassing years in a row at making it to the second round and getting just blitzed by Cleveland and Orlando, they are putting up a strong fight against the number one seeded Chicago Bulls. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we will have today's headlines when we return on this latest edition of Cyril Quinn Review. 11 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. 53-50 at the half, Celtics over the Heat. Very good first half. Very high scoring first half for these two defensive minded teams. Rondo's been okay. Still favoring that that arm. The Heat have not taken advantage of that, I feel. Pierce and LeBron James have had big halves so far. Listen, the Celtics look good. I mean, they're playing very well. I thought that they were absolutely dead after game two. You know, game three Saturday night, they found the foul that you've got, especially Garnett Pierce. You know, got some nice contributions from the bench from Jeff Green and Devontae West. Obviously the breaking of the dislocation of the arm with Rondo. Everybody wants to make a big deal out of that, him coming back in the game. I'm not gonna go too crazy about it. It's not let's not make it out to be Willis Reed here. So he's a tough player. But he did break his arm. He dislocated his arm. Okay, he's back. Let's keep it moving here with that. So Celtics 53-50. At the half over the Miami Heat. Today's headlines: Tiger Woods drops to number 8 in the world golf rankings. I would have to think that this is the lowest he's been, as a professional. Since he won his first major back in 97 at Augusta, the Masters. So he continues to fall. Who knows? He may never be number one again. I'm going to be honest with you. He may never be number one. I don't think he cares. I think he cares about winning the majors. But number 8 in the world now is Tiger Woods. NBA All-Defensive Team came out today. You had Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, LeBron James, and Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant making their 9th appearances on the first team. They tie Michael Jordan and Gary Payton for the all-time record for appearances on first-team All-NBA. Kobe Bryant, and you guys understand I'm a Los Angeles Lakers fan. I'm as biggest Kobe Bryant fan as they could possibly be. Kobe Bryant should not be on that team this year. If you want to know, that's the Michael Jordan treatment. Okay, that's making a team on reputation, and I mean reputation only. Lakers have some good defensive numbers, but if you watch Lakers games this year, you would know that Kobe Bryant was kind of was like a safety, so to speak, like a rover. He was, not guarding the toughest players from a perimeter standpoint. You have Artest guarding those particular players, similar to what Scottie Pippen did for Michael Jordan, so he should not have been on the team. Kevin Garnett, you can't argue, because Boston did give up the least amount of points, and, he is the anchor of that defense, so I have no problem with Kevin Garnett, even though he's not the athlete that he once was. I don't think you can argue with that. James, Howard, Rajon Rondo, no debates on those other three. But Kobe Bryant should not have been on that team. So there are your headlines, your sporting headlines for the day. Although, one last thing I want to get in terms of headlines. Rick Carlisle came out and said that he thinks that Dirk Nowitzki is one of the top 10 players of all time. Rick, you played with Larry Bird. Let's calm down here. You know greatness. It's not like Rick Carlisle is a 32-year-old coach. Rick Carlisle's been around for a while. Coached Indiana, coached Detroit, he played for the Celtics back in the day when they were winning championships in the 80s with Bird, McHale, and Parrish. So, calm down. And I think Dirk is a tremendous player, Hall of Famer, Dirk, the Whiskey's going to probably, he has a chance to score 30,000 points. I understand that. Greatest European player of all time, without question. It's not top 10 player of all time. Think about the top 10 player. You really look at the list, and you start thinking about top 10 players, you're going to put Dirk Nowitzki, with the likes of Oscar Robertson, Jerry West. That's your top 10 list. Will Chamberlain, Magic, Bird, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You really want to say he's better than Hakeem Olajuwon? He might be the most unique player of all time. Nobody's ever seen a 7-footer be able to put the ball on the floor, shoot, and do what he does at that height. But top 10 player of all time, a little bit of a stretch there. So that was but the Carolina's right to be excited going back to the Western Conference Finals is the Dallas Mavericks for the first time since 2006. Still to come on this latest edition of the Serial Quarter Review, we will have our entertainment news of the week. So we'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Serial Quarter Review. After the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, I'm your host, Surreal Quinn. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Laker fans, I want to hear from you. I'm calling you out. I want to hear from you. I don't want to start calling names now. I don't want to start calling names, but you know who you are. I cannot now. Listen, I can't call myself. Can't call myself as a Laker fan. So I can't. I'm already on the line, so I can't call the show. So trust me. If I were not doing the show, I would be calling the show right now to discuss the purple and gold. But I want to hear from you, you know. And you know who you are. You know who you are, the, you know, Doc Walkers of the world. You know who you are, who are huge Laker fans. Entertainment news, Mel Gibson's comeback. Mel Gibson, Lethal Weapon Mel Gibson. He's come out with a movie called The Beaver. And it did not do too well at the box office this weekend, taking in $104,000. Yes, $104,000. Now, it's a limited release on 22 screens, which is not certainly is not a lot, but $104,000? First of all, I would never go see a movie called The Beaver. I don't care who is in it. You could have Denzel Washington, Al Pacino, Kate Blanchett. The Beaver. A title, contrary to what you may think, a title can screw up a movie. It can take you. You can look at a title and say, "What? I'm not going to see this. Come on." But when I look at this picture, I see a beaver on Mel Gibson's shoulder while he's up here looking crazy. I'm sorry. It just, I don't know. Even before all the stuff that went down, Mel Gibson, I'm not sure I wouldn't go see this movie. I don't care if this is Mel Gibson following Lethal Weapon 1, 2, or 3. The Beaver. And the funny thing about it is directed by Jodie Foster. And, yeah, the great Jodie Foster. I mean, two-time Academy Award winning Jodie Foster. So, is she trying to bring Mel Gibson back? Does she feel sorry for him? I don't understand what's going on with that dynamic. But again, to say the movie did not do well, to say the least. Oprah Winfrey is going to come out. She has her own network, the On Call Own, and she has a series on there starting called Behind the Scenes. Now, one of the first guests of this series was supposed to be the Academy Award winner and great singer Jennifer Hudson. Now, Hudson blew off the show. So Oprah recently this weekend came out and expressed her displeasure for Ms. Hudson blowing off the show. And first of all, how do you blow off Oprah Winfrey? Like, is that that has to be a first. I don't know. Has anybody ever blown off Oprah? I mean, Oprah Winfrey can get anybody. Oprah Winfrey got, you know, she got Michael Jordan after he retired. And that'll be the first time in 93 when it was a surprise. You know, she gets Barack, you know, anytime she wants. You know, he's a president or no president, before and after he was a president. I mean, how do you blow? I mean, Jennifer, you could never be too big to be on Oprah Winfrey's show. You could never be too big on any Oprah Winfrey show. Never. So she finally comes out and, you know, expresses how unhappy she was about that entire situation, how uncomfortable it, and basically she said it never happened before. And the night before it was supposed to, you know, they were supposed to tape or what have you. I mean, boy, Jennifer Hudson, you know, you need to make amends on that one, blowing off Oprah Winfrey. The Office is down 17%. Ratings from The Office is down 17%. No Steve Carell. You have Will Ferrell, who is the guest star, I believe it's the guest star boss on the show. I love The Office, but The Office without Steve Carell, I just can't. I mean, that's like taking, I don't know, I just, you know, taking Michael Jackson with the Jackson 5. I can't imagine a show, that show, without Steve Carell. I just can't. And yeah, there's some funny, it's an ensemble cast. I understand that. A lot of funny characters. Well-written, of course, but this will be interesting to see them next season with a whole season without Carell. I don't think he's going to make it without myself. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Rob Lowe recently was on Piers Morgan's show, and he talked about, he basically called out Charlie Sheen in terms of Charlie Sheen being in just complete denial of his illness, so to speak, of his addiction, drugs and alcohol. And Rob, this is a term Rob Lowe used that Charlie Sheen has: terminal uniqueness. I mean, he said Charlie Sheen has terminal uniqueness. So you can check that out, of course. You know, go online, check that out, that older episode of Piers Morgan's show and his interview he did with Rob Lowe, who once, of course, himself had a just terrible alcohol and drug addiction, amongst other addictions that he had, not to, you know, get into the specifics. Entourage creator Doug Eland says that he wants, speaking of Charlie Sheen, he wants Charlie Sheen to be a part of the upcoming final season of the Entourage, which of course appears on HBO. That'll be fun. That'll be fun watching Charlie Sheen on Entourage. He fits right in. He fits. That's actually not a bad idea to have him on the new season of Entourage. Have him going at it with Vince's brother. Kevin Dillon character. Drama, that's his name. That's a good mix. So we'll see what happens with that. Ellen has been calling Charlie Sheen's representatives and PR people. Yeah, first of all, you have to dry him out first. You have to dry him out before you can do any episodes. So we'll see what happens with that. Rihanna and Chris Brown are booked for the summer concert series on today, which begins May 27th. Did today see the episode of Good Morning America when Chris Brown basically turked out? Or did they hear about it? Because it wasn't on live television. But they didn't hear him, you know, basically crack his dressing room window with a chair and glass go basically flying out the window and onto the street. That just totally just went over their heads. They didn't hear about that. I mean, how can you listen? There are enough talented musicians to get on, you know, to complete your whole summer series. You don't need Chris Brown out of all the people you're going to call. And by the way, Rihanna and Chris Brown have not been booked. They were not booked the same day. So let me just put that in mind. Some of the acts that you will see on that summer series will be Lenny Kravitz, New Kids on the Block, Backstreet Boys, CeeLo Green, Bruno Mars, So, I mean, they have some good acts coming up, and you didn't need Chris Brown, I mean, at all. Still to come on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, we're going to get into what really happened with the Los Angeles Lakers. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a Laker fan, you're not shocked. I wasn't shocked to see this. But if you're a casual sports fan, if you don't really follow the Lakers but just know of the team, you might be a little surprised. That's still to come on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back.
Came back this last year with some trepidation. You know, Kobe's knee was an issue, and obviously our team was older. The thrill of trying to chase a three-peat is always an exciting thing. But yes, I knew it was a big challenge for this team to three-peat. We'd gone to the finals, and to go back twice and win it after losing 08 puts a lot of strain on a basketball club. From all angles, personalities, spiritually, physically, emotionally, getting charged up for game after game and assault after assault when you go in and play teams.
That is, of course, the legendary Phil Jackson, who ended, who supposedly ended his 20-year coaching career with a 36-point defeat, but that certainly doesn't take away from the 11 championships that he won over the course of his career, 6 with the Bulls, 5 with the Lakers. Now, I just gave you a piece of that press conference. If you listen to the entire press conference, you can certainly go and you can check that out at NBA.com and if you're at your leisure. It sounds like Jackson was not all that broken up about this season ending. And it just sounds, you know, like this team really was, you know, really presented a lot of problems to him. You know, you saw him punch Paul Gasol in the chest game 3 where the Lakers really had their last chance at being competitive in the series with that Friday night loss. And, you know, it just sounds like he was just relieved that the season's over. You know, disappointed from a competitive standpoint, but just happy. You know, you didn't see that anger. Like, you didn't see any anger or any, you know, tenseness out of Jackson. I sense relief. You know, he's cracking a couple of jokes about the smoking peyote. You know, Rick Carlisle said that he was smoking, you know, smoke peyote during his time at Montana, then come back to coaching. And, of course, Phil Jackson says, you know, smoke peyote, and at the press conference really, you know, got a kick out of that. But there were some deeper issues to this team that were beneath the surface. And Bill Plaschke of the LA Times columnist, been with the Lakers for years, kind of touched on this. I'm going to read a paragraph from his from today's column. Just where this team was at mentally. Also swept away was the thought that Artest is a changed and focused man. His suspension for a dumb foul in game 2 helped cost the team a victory in game 3, and he spent most of Sunday lost in a defensive space while the Mavericks wildly flew around him. This is what Artest says. God can win 10 championships in a row, but I'm not God, he said. Here's where the juicy part comes in. Perhaps more than anything, the notion that Paul Gasol can be this next team's Kavita's team's next great leader was swept away. His sudden and odd postseason disappearance was the most obvious reason for the Lakers' troubles. His fall completed Sunday when he scored 10 points while being pushed around by everyone but his coach, who thankfully refrained from hitting him for a second consecutive game. "I had to learn from this," Gasol said. "I had to learn that when something happens off the court, you have to keep it off the court." He was referring to the report that he stopped talking to Bryant, Kobe Bryant, that is, during the postseason because Bryant's wife, Vanessa, had contributed to the breakup of Gasol and his longtime girlfriend. Laker fans will remember that Karl Malone once publicly accused Vanessa Bryant of interfering with his personal life in a similar fashion. Whatever was happening, Bryant and Gasol haven't connected on the court in a month, and the Lakers have been lost without the strength of their fusion. Therein lies the root of the problem. Think about this, okay? The Lakers, you know, they go through the roller coaster ride that they traditionally go through when they win championships or competing. Then we get to March and they win 17 or 18 games. They go 17-1, and then all of a sudden they lose five straight out of nowhere, five straight before ending the season with, you know, winning two straight. It's strange, huh? That a team. I mean, have you ever seen a team win 17 out of 18 and lose five straight without there being some type of major injury involved? And again, you get to the playoffs, and the Lakers allow the Mavericks to shoot the lights out. They have wide open 3-point shooters all over the place. The Mavericks set records for most 3-pointers made. Lakers this year were top three in terms of opponents' 3-point field goal percentage. Okay, they were top three. They were top 10 in terms of points allowed. They were top five in terms of opponents' field goal percentage allowed. So they were a very good defensive team this year across the board when you look at the numbers. Nothing that certainly reflected what they showed against the Dallas Mavericks. So, again, you wonder to yourself, like, what happened? And it makes perfect sense. What happened was the fact that Paul Gasol and Kobe Bryant split that locker room apart with this whole ordeal about Paul Gasol's girlfriend breaking up with him over what Kobe Bryant's wife intervened in their relationship. And it makes perfect sense because they never were on the same page during the course of the playoffs. People wonder that, you know, the major question coming out of the Laker out of this Laker postseason is what happened to Paul Gasol? What happened to a guy who has been perennially an All Star? A guy who, when the All-NBA teams come out this year, would be either second or third team All-NBA for the third straight year, an Olympian. I mean, what happened? In the prime of his career, no major injuries. He is that fragile. He's that fragile where he couldn't recover from this, you know, off-the-court issue with his girlfriend. And then let me take it further back. Let me take it back to what Andrew Bynum said after last week's game two when the Lakers lost. We have trust issues. Didn't mention anything about basketball. We have trust issues, meaning that we don't trust if one of our teammates' wives are going to intervene in our relationship. Or meaning, listen, I frankly don't trust Kobe Bryant right now. That's what he really wanted to say, but he can't call out Kobe Bryant. But I was like, when he said that, I'm like, what, you know, what the hell is Andrew Bynum talking about? How could a team whose core has been together basically for the last four years, who have won back-to-back championships, been in the finals three straight years, have trust issues on either end of the court? They've been running a triangle forever. You know, they know nuances of the offense. They know the nuances of the defense and what they're trying to do there. Trust issues. It doesn't make sense. Well, now it makes perfect sense. They don't trust each other in life. So if they don't trust each other in life, then how can they trust each other on the basketball court? So it makes perfect sense. It makes absolute perfect sense. And the Lakers, I mean, listen, based on this, Gasol has to go. I mean, Gasol has to go. He can't. He can't be in the same locker room as Kobe Bryant. And of course, Kobe Bryant brushed this aside earlier, you know, last week or whatever. You know, just, you know, they don't, you know, basically saying my wife and they're not that tight, and you know, they hardly know each other. Was, come on, let's be honest, they hardly know each other. But again, when you know, I'm having a conversation with a couple of buddies yesterday, and we're just wondering what happened to the Lakers. This, listen, I mentioned earlier at the top of the program, the Lakers are not that old. Their core is not that old. Bynum, Gasol, and Odom are in the prime of their careers, okay? In the prime of their careers. Bynum, Gasol, and Odom are in the Bynum hasn't even reached his prime. Gasol and Odom are in their primes. Kobe Bryant is still a legit top five player. So, you know, this, you know, one thing, Dallas beats them in a seven-game classic drop-dead series. Dallas, you're telling me Dallas Mavericks, who have choked series in and series out year after year, are 36 points better than the Los Angeles Lakers? I don't think so. And this is why Phil Jackson is not shedding any tears that the season is over. He's tired of dealing with this. You know, Phil thought he had moved on after the whole Kobe Shaq ordeal. He thought he had got past this. He thought that, you know what, that this is over with, you know, we turn over a new leaf. Kobe, trust me now. We can, you know, we've ironed out all the stuff that I wrote in the book I had on Kobe, about Kobe Bryant, saying, you know, I wanted to trade it. We've been defensive. We have an understanding. No, Phil. It's not over with. And Kobe Bryant, listen, I think the world of Kobe Bryant as a basketball player. I think he's one of the top five players of all time. But he is high maintenance to the ump degree. I mean, you're dealing with Kobe Bryant, you're dealing with the total package. Everything. Everything you got to deal with. So that is what happened to the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm convinced that is what happened to the Lakers and why they're sitting at home right now. Is your call number. When we return, we will have some celebrity birthdays and wrap up this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Miami making a push here, up 63-59. Got a couple turnovers, a couple breakaways. We'll see how Boston responds. Later on tonight, you have Oklahoma City at Memphis, and a must-win for Oklahoma City as they find themselves down 2-1 after blowing Game 3 in Memphis on Saturday. 347-215-6180 tomorrow. You'll have Game 5 between Chicago and Atlanta, back in Chicago, as Chicago tries to regain control of that series. NBA is wide open right now, of course, wide open, of course, with the Lakers being out of it. You know, again, make a case for Dallas, in the case of Miami, in the case of Chicago, to a lesser extent, the Boston Celtics. So we'll see what happens over the course of the next month. Celebrity birthdays. Actor Albert Finney is 75 years old. He's been around for a while, to say the least. Mike Wallace, CBS's news correspondent, Mike Wallace, 93 years old. Mike Wallace, been in the game 50 years, one of the great reporters of all in the history of the industry, was one of the original correspondents of the famous 60 Minutes. It appears on the show periodically, retired as a full-time correspondent on the show about 5 years ago. So he still does some special pieces for 60 Minutes, probably 60 Minutes Prime Time or 60. They used to have 60 Minutes 2. He used to appear on. James L. Brooks is 74 years old. James L. Brooks now has had a big time career in Hollywood. He is the creator of, one of the writers for The Simpsons. Also, he's directed movies like Terms of Endearment, Broadcast News, As Good as It Gets. Ghostface Killah, 41 years old. That makes me feel old because I've been listening to Ghostface forever. Ghostface, one of the most underrated artists of this generation, does nothing but quality music. There's not one Ghostface CD that you can honestly say that you don't like if you're a fan of rap and hip hop. The lovely Rosario Dawson is my age, 32 years old. She is, again, one of the most underrated actresses out there. Very good. 25th Hour. She's most recently in the movie with Denzel Washington, Unstoppable. You've seen her in the independent movie, her breakout movie, Kids, a while ago, that when she really first got started. She also was in He Got Game. So she's been around. She's been around for a while. And, again, very good actress. And does a very good actress and plays. She doesn't get too complicated with some of the roles she plays. She really hasn't had that one role where she's really stretched out, but does quality work for the work that she does. You can hear me this later on this week, a couple times later on this week. This will be a busy week, to say the least. I will be on with the beautiful and talented Dee Perez. Shout out to Dee Perez for doing her thing. Tipsy Thursday. Let me get that right. Tipsy Thursday, so I can be on there with some sporting news and we'll have some fun with Dee. Also, hear me, of course, on a Saturday morning wake up call. Time still to be announced. Probably be anywhere from 11:30 And with the NBA Conference Finals upon us, we're going to start doing post-game shows of the conference finals. I'm anticipating that at least one of these conference finals will start on Sunday, I would think. Or either we'll do game one of a conference final or we'll do a game seven of an Eastern Conference semifinal, where it'd be, hopefully it's Miami and Boston. So we're going to do a post-game show of that over the course of the weekend. So you'll still be all over the place. Enjoy your week. I will see you soon. So long.